Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Mile High Hoops with Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops podcast. I am your host, Zach Bye, in a draft react special with the great Adam Ares. And I say that because I am lifting that quote from Zach Lowe. I'm sure that got back to you if you didn't hear it yourself. Zach Lowe of ESPN, who, you know, every podcast, Adam, I start and I say, you know, welcome to. That's a little tip of the cap to Zach Lowe's podcast that I've listened to for many years now. And I'm listening like a month ago, and he's referencing something that you said and said the great Adam Ares, and I'm like, whoa, what a shout out to get. That must have made you feel pretty good.
I mean, he's the best in the biz. I don't think just for basketball. I mean, he's one of the great sports writers, I think, of this time. So that was really cool. That was really fun. And luckily, he's a guy I've gotten to know, and he'll hit me up every time there's a little bit of Nuggets questions he has or something like that. And so it was cool, man. It was really cool. He's also a big Nuggets guy. I mean, he's just a big Jokic guy.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that through the years. He's been sort of like, kind of was like was rocking the band t-shirt before it was cool type thing.
Exactly. Yep. He was in early.
Yep, he was. He was. And I got to tell you, the last time that I had you on here, I just had such a blast. And I heard back from people who listened like, hey, that was like an awesome episode. And I just had to get you back on, and I purposely wanted to get you the day after the draft and just sort of vibe with you. So thank you for coming by the Mile High Hoops podcast once again. Zeke Nagy.
Yeah, man.
Zeke goes at 22. Let me ask you this, just with a broad stroke before we get into who Zeke Nagy is. How much of a departure was it on draft night from how you thought that it was going to go for the Nuggets?
Well, them using two picks is the part that actually surprised me. You know, Zeke Nagy wasn't really a name I had looked up a whole lot prior to about a week ago. A week ago, it was when I first heard that he was a guy Denver really liked. Him and Isaiah Stewart, those two names kind of started popping up more and more and just hearing different things from different people. So that pick didn't surprise me, especially when Isaiah Stewart, who was projected to go mid to late 20s, maybe even fall into the second round. I think he goes 16.
Right.
So once he went, that's when I sat there, and you're looking at the board. I think Precious Achiuwa was there, who I know the Nuggets liked, but he was projected to go early. I thought maybe he would fall. But once Isaiah Stewart was taken, I thought, oh, God, Zeke Nagy is probably going to be the guy. And just because I had heard so much buzz about him from Denver.
Yeah, so he comes off the board at 22. And I just want to give you a couple of my cliff notes on Zeke Nagy. I've spent the entire morning watching him taking notes on him. He is just a kid. He is 19 years old. He was a big-time recruit coming out of high school, offered by Kansas, University of North Carolina, Duke, UCLA. He chooses Arizona and shows up 6'11", 240-ish pounds, 7'1" wingspan. Plays really good basketball in his freshman season at Arizona. 16 points a game, 8.5 boards. He went on to be the Pac-12 Rookie of the Year. He is a very good finisher around the bucket, efficient, 57% from the field. Really like what I see from the shooting form, and that, you know,
yeah.
And I look at him at the line, and you know, because you're not only a hoops guy, you're a basketball player. We talked about this the last time, that like when you see a guy at the line look that comfortable shooting right. The basketball, that's sort of the baseline. And if you're telling me that's square one, super encouraging. 14 double doubles there at Arizona. Guy's got a high motor. He plays hard. There's my cliff notes on Zeke Nagy. What are your thoughts about the selection?
Well, that's a lot of the I would say the positive ones. I'm sure we'll get to the negative ones later, but let's stick to the positive here. Let's have a little bit of fun with the pick before we maybe talk, you know, go over it with a fine tooth comb. And I think the number one thing you might have left out there that I think is most important to Denver and how they've constructed this roster in the Tim Connelly era, extremely high character guy.
Yeah.
And Denver has just, you know, every team talks about that being important. I shouldn't say every team, but most teams, you know, they put an emphasis on it. If you're a good guy, a hard worker, you know, known for your work ethic or whatever, team player, not selfish, you know, every team wants those qualities. I think Denver emphasizes them more than I would say just about any team in the NBA. So this Zeke Nagy guy, a guy with outside, you know, with multiple interests, you know, a guy I would say seems, or I've heard, is very intellectually curious. So you get all those character traits that say, okay, you're coming into a Denver team that has Nikola Jokic. That's your star. You're a big man. You're not going to be the star big man here. You got it. There's already that guy established. You got Jamal Murray. You've got budding stars in, you know, Michael Porter Jr., maybe even a Bol Bol. So you bring in a guy that maybe it doesn't mind that. And I know it sounds crazy to say, but even at 22, there's a lot of NBA players that come in and think, okay, this is my shot to be the guy. And
that's right.
You know, you got to make a first impression. I don't think Zeke Nagy wants to be that. You know, I think he wants to be a great player, but I think a great player in his role. And I think the Nuggets believe, you know, with his skill set, he can grow into be a very interesting sort of role player here for Denver. So, and for all those reasons you said, really great shot mechanics. The mid-range, I think he's more of a mid-range guy now, but they hope they can extend him to be a three-point shooter. His shot, what do you fall on this, Zach? I'm curious what you think, because shot mechanics, like if you have a guy that makes a bunch of shots, but it's just a disgusting looking jumper, and you have a guy who makes some shot, you know, he's okay shooter, but the jumper is great. Me as a basketball player, I gravitate to the good looking jumper. And I don't know if that's the right thing to do or the wrong thing. But
well,
he has a good jumper, bad numbers.
Yeah. And well, you know, you can point to different examples throughout, you know, this game and say, well, hey, look at you know, how awkward did it look when, you know, Peja Stojakovic would shoot sometimes, right? Like come across his face, but it goes in. Like you, I gravitate more to the mechanical approach. And when I see him shoot free throws, it looks like it has been done 10,000 times. I see him catch on the elbow and just square up and shoot it, it looks natural. It doesn't look like, hey, we're up 11 and I feel comfortable enough to shoot this. It actually looks natural. And, you know, when you're telling me you shoot 76% from the line, and now you're going to dedicate your life. You're no longer going to class. Like, basketball is your class. You know, you're telling me this kid loves basketball. And when I watch him, he looks like he loves basketball when he's out on the floor. And I can't really point to anything definitive that would say this is why I feel that way. But, like, he plays with an enthusiasm and a joy that I see that. It comes up on tape. And I'll point to you something really small. And when I say this is small, man, it is friggin' microscopic. But I couldn't help but to notice it. And I used to do this as a player. When he gets a pass that leads to a score, you will – and I want you to go back and notice this, dude. You will find very, very few possessions where he is not acknowledging the passer with a point.
Nice.
And for me, when I played the game, I was thankful every single time that I got to score. I was never like a great scorer, and I was never like some NBA player. But even when I'm at 24-hour fitness, if you make an extra pass or just simply the right play, I'm trying to acknowledge you with a point, with a wink, with a nice pass. I'm telling you, find a scoring pass that leads to a bucket, and he's not acknowledging the – it's little stuff like that that I'm like, man, you put these puzzle pieces all, you know, that we're going through here, and it creates a picture of a player that I'm very intrigued with.
I love that, and I'm with you on that. You know, maybe that's a small thing, maybe it's a personality thing, but I do think there is something to just Denver looking for guys that understand the team concept. I know that sounds silly, and it could be like really, really simple stuff, but in the NBA, it's surprisingly scarce.
Right.
And so having guys that are like, hey, man, this is a team effort. I'm probably just going to be a piece of the team. And look, Jokic is the team star. He sets the tone for all of that. He's probably the most unselfish superstar in the NBA. So you're going to bring guys in that, one, appreciate that, and two, can contribute to it and be a part of it. So I'm with you on all those character things. I love the word you use to describe his jumper, though, which is natural, because I think that is the way to describe it. It's not like laborsome. It doesn't look like it's him thinking about all the little like, oh, got to keep my elbow in, I got to bend my knees and this and that. It just looks like he has a natural sort of smoothness to his game, and almost like he picked up a basketball and started hitting jumpers at 4 years old or something. So he does have, I think, a lot of that natural sort of talent. And when you're a 6'11 player, oftentimes, actually, I would say, but I don't know, maybe you agree, maybe you disagree with this. Oftentimes with 7-footers and 6'11 guys, they end up playing basketball because they're good at it. They just happen to be the tall one. They join, and they're, you know, they're good enough. So, and your point, he plays with joy. He doesn't seem like one of those guys. He seems like a guy that has a lot of natural talent. It just also so happens to be 6'11". The issues with him are more on the defensive end, and in particular, rim protection, which is a big buzzword here in Denver because Nikola Jokic doesn't really provide a whole lot of that. But offensively, he looks like a guy that's going to play with an incredible motor, just give 100% all the time he's on the court, be really physical, really strong. I wonder how much Denver, entering this draft, knowing that the names that they were circling, Isaiah Stewart and Zeke Nnaji in particular, two guys that are really strong, really big, really long, and they, who did Denver just lose to? The Los Angeles Lakers. They're not going anywhere. They're probably going to be big for the foreseeable future, and I wonder how much of Denver's sort of approach to this draft was at least in part influenced by, hey, we just have to be big. We have to have some bigs if we're going to make it out of the Western Conference because the Lakers are always going to be there.
Do you, with the rim protection aspect, because you're right, that is a hole right now in his game. When you talk like when we talk about developing a basketball player, so often it's about the offensive end and trying to like expand a package, and that's true for Nnaji too on that end. But when it comes to rim protection and stuff, where do you fall in like the development of becoming that guy?
I think it's harder to point to. You know, it's harder to say like, hey, here's how we're going to work on this today. We're going to do our leg slides or something.
Right.
Because so much of it is like feel for the game and recognizing what's going on. But when you're picking at 22, and I'm sure we'll talk about RJ Hampton, I'm sure here in a little bit, because he's a funny counter to what I'm about to say. But when you're picking at 22, I think what you want and one of the things that you really have to value is a guy's coachability, his like ability to learn.
Sure.
And I think with Zeke, sort of how he had that great freshman season with Arizona and which was the Pac-12 all freshman, you know, a guy that sort of seems to have that ability that, hey, you started at one point, you finished at another, and now you're a top, this guy that people are excited about. I think that Denver looks at that and hopes that they can mold him into a defensive player because he has all the tools. I mean, he's extremely mobile. If you watch him on the perimeter, he actually moves his feet really, really well.
I agree.
He can get out. If you're playing the pick and roll, he can get out and hedge. He could probably switch. He could trap. He's active with his hands and with his feet. So he has some of this defensive skill. The problem is he doesn't block any shots, and he just seems to be really late on rotations and late reading the court. And I don't know if that's a thing you can learn, but he does seem like the character type of guy that's willing to try to learn that. So it gives you hope that he can grow in that aspect.
Yeah, and that's a huge first step. And you talk about this with just in life, like, okay, your first step into solving a problem is admitting you have one. And I'm sure that the Nuggets are going to, teach, and he's willing to learn. You use the phrase intellectually curious. If you're like that as a person, I think you're receptive to that type of coaching. So I agree. Hopefully we see a development as the hours passed here, because the draft was just last night. I'm becoming more and more on the border of excited, but definitely intrigued on who this guy is and what his arc could look like over the next 4 to 5 years. So
no doubt. And it's funny you say that, because as the pick happened, we were doing a live thing over at DNVR. And as the pick comes in, we kind of have been talking about it for a week because, like I said, we'd heard the name. And we weren't that excited about it. So the moment, the instant reaction was a little bit of a lukewarm reaction. But
sure,
as you get into it and as people start texting and just saying, hey, man, you're going to love this dude. You know, he's really interesting. He's really hard worker, just great teammate, all these different things. You think, okay, I wouldn't go, like you said, I wouldn't go all the way to excited, but I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see what happens. And lastly on him, this is a silly thing. It's auxiliary, but Denver is a bit of they're a very fun on-court team. They're kind of a boring off-court team. They've got a bunch of guys that just aren't, I think Zeke, in an interesting way, brings a little wacky to the team in a way that I think is going to give them a little more personality, which they needed.
But in a fun way. in a fun way.
Totally.
Like the one guy, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on him, but the kid Anthony Edwards scares the hell out of me because he's got he's got too much of that. Like, you're telling me you got a rap album in your back pocket before you've made an NBA bucket. You know, you've never been a part of a winning, you know, environment. You're a selective competitor. I just, you know.
Did you read that ESPN piece where
I
you
did.
Said that, oh, if you're, imagine being a number one pick, you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, you've never been good, and imagine you get the number one pick first time ever, and you get a guy that says, I don't love basketball.
Right.
Oh my God, man.
And then says, if I had a chance to go play in the NFL, I'd drop basketball today, not because I can go score touchdowns, not because I can hit someone, but because I can spike the ball and dance and be disrespectful.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, you can't make that stuff up. And I don't want to be overly judgmental because he's like 19 years old. But at the same time, I'm like, holy crap, dude. I mean, if you're Scott Layden, like, you're trying to make this environment a winner. It's unbelievable.
Really, really unbelievable. Well, and Zeke, man, what's funny about him, so I saw an interview with him where somebody asked him what he's been working on in quarantine, and he asked, basketball wise or otherwise? Just tell us both. And he goes, well, basketball wise he gives all the list of things he's been where he's been with. All these guys have been like in workout pods, different, like they've congregated in different cities to be working out because of the COVID, and he's been in one of them. But he said he's been working on his game there, but then he says he's been working on the harmonica personally outside of basketball because he wants to be able to play the Piano Man song with the
Yes.
So, there you go. So.
Oh my God, that is awesome. I love it. I'm curious to get to know this kid. All right, to keep it moving here, because I don't want to take too much of your time here. RJ Hampton, this was the curveball of the night. It caught me off guard. You know, in some ways, you know, I'm doing reaction videos for work, and you know, I'm just like, whoa, that was a curveball. My quick cliff notes on RJ Hampton, a 6'6 point guard with a 6'7 wingspan, really, really touted coming out of high school. He first got on my radar when he was on like Get Up and declared that he was going to play in the NBL, much like LaMelo Ball. Now, most of that league is based out of Australia, but he played for the New Zealand Breakers. Didn't really light the world on fire, kind of reminiscent of maybe Brandon Jennings. Really just kind of underwhelming at the pro level. I don't hold that against him. I don't think people understand that this game is played at a high level across the world. I have covered a couple players that actually play in the NBL. It is a very good league. He averaged just under 9 points a game. He has some work to do on the three. He shot 29% from behind the arc. But you see these signs. He shows flashes in the pick and roll. You see him in the open court. Jay Billis called him last night, you know, a blur in the open court. He's got a chance to be a pretty good defender. You see some of the acumen when you cut the tape on. What is your reaction to RJ Hampton?
Well, he's another one that, you know, I was surprised that Denver traded and got a second pick, but he wasn't a guy that I was surprised Denver would take because of all the things you're saying. He fits sort of that Denver profile, especially in the Tim Connelly era, this guy who maybe fell for some reason, you know, usually some minor reason. I saw Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated last night said that he was RJ Hampton falling to 24 was a perfect example of how people over scout the draft, because it's like, guys, sometimes you just need to look and be like, this dude's super, super talented, and you're overthinking maybe the little things a 19-year-old didn't do in his limited, you know, season professionally. So I think he's another super high upside guy with enormous talent, but is somebody that isn't a surefire thing, you know, low floor, high ceiling type guy, like a Bol Bol, like a Michael Porter Jr. Of course, those guys were a little bit more, they fell for a little bit more for injury reasons. And RJ Hampton, I think, you know, I'm really curious how this year would have gone if there wasn't a global pandemic for all of these guys, but for RJ Hampton in particular, because he is a guy that has elite athleticism, dunk contest athleticism, all NBA first step. Like, his first step is just insane. Like Russell Westbrook-esque, the way he sort of goes from a standstill to that first step, that first burst of speed. He's so skinny, and he's a guy that I think he turns the corner as well as any prospect in this draft, probably much better than any prospect in this draft, because he's so thin that if he can get just that first step on you hip to hip, he turns that corner and there's nothing you can do. He's just so good at sort of like, he's got swivel hips on him. So I think he's a guy that projects to be a project, probably won't play this season very much, if at all, almost like a redshirt year, like Michael Porter and Bol Bol.
Yep.
But if Denver develops him over the course of the next couple of seasons, he might actually end up being the long-term answer for Denver at shooting guard because of his fit next to Jamal Murray. He's long. He can guard in space. He is a good team defender. And those athletic gifts, you know, Denver hasn't had a guy that beats people off of the dribble really in the Jokic era. If you think about it, they've had Jameer Nelson. They've had Emmanuel Mudiay. They've had Jamal Murray. They haven't had that guy that just, you know, just one dribble. He's through the paint and everybody has to collapse. So
it's a great
point.
I
think they hope he can be that guy. And, you know, he's just got so much upside.
Yeah, I like the way that you framed that from the past. You're right. I didn't think about it like that. You know, blow by guy. That's interesting. All right. For me, RJ Hampton, it's about the future. I am not having any expectations for his first season in the NBA. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that this is a stock that was bought at the perfect price. All right. Any quick thoughts on Marcus Howard, the walking bucket from Marquette?
Not really. He's interesting. He's so teeny. You know, that's the thing about him. Is you look at a guy and you go, okay, he led college in scoring. He's never shot worse than 40% from the three-point line. Wow, this is a blue chip. What did he go, number one? Did he go number two? Well, he's 5'11", 180
right,
pounds.
Right.
Like, okay, all right. So that's the deal with him. And what's interesting about him, here's what's really interesting. You're 5'11", and you score 30 points per game in college, shoot 40% 4 years in a row on 10 threes a game for this final year. I don't care. Teams are going to take a flyer on you because maybe you're Isaiah Thomas. You know, maybe it translates to the next level. The problem with him is I don't think the rest of his game, he's just a scorer, and he's great at that, but he's not a great passer. You know, obviously you're going to be limited as a defender and you're that small. Guys can just shoot over him or bully him. But to me, I mean, he'll be an interesting, you know, player to kind of watch. I bet he lights up the G League when he plays. But,
sure.
I have so little faith in anybody under about 6'3". If you're under 6'3" in the NBA, you better be, the Michael Jordan of 6'3" and under players. And if you're not, then I'm just skeptical of you. So I'm skeptical of Marcus Howard.
Well, I watched a lot of him at Marquette. He can score from anywhere on the floor. But this is someone where the expectation, like you just touched on, it's not really there. There's a phrase down south called lagniap. It's gravy. It's extra if he ends up contributing at all for the Nuggets. But I think it's an interesting name to watch. I have so much going on in my life today. So we have to cut this a little bit shorter than I would like to. But Adam, okay. I think the world of your coverage of the Nuggets, and I mean that sincerely.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I'm thankful that you were able to come on the day after the draft and react to some of these guys, and I know that we'll do it again at some point soon.
It's always fun talking to you, man. Really appreciate the call on, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, and we will be checking back in here in the next probably 48 hours with another member of our esteemed Nuggets media here in Denver, Colorado. And thank you guys so much for stopping by on another episode of the Mile High Hoops Podcast.
Oh, hey, didn't realize you were listening. Well, let's make this quick. And don't touch that dial. We're Rocky Mountain Forest Products, and we're not aggressive. We're passionate. And we're not going to blast you with facts you don't need. But when you do, visit rmfp.com. Whether you're in need of fencing, decking, or siding information, it's all there. And best of all, it's free. No one likes a salesman, so we're not going to sell you. Whether you need the info or not, just remember rmfp.com. You do you, Colorado. You do you.